Because only to the extent one is qualified, to that extent the knowledge can make or bring about a transformation within. Like Jesus Christ also says, do not cast pearls before swine. There's no use. Exactly like that. Then he says, he who shall teach the supreme secret to my devotees, to the people who are asking, who are wanting to know this, a person who is giving this knowledge, having shown the greatest devotion to me alone, shall doubtless come to me. So he is saying this is a great service of gaining this knowledge and dissolving your ego and imparting this knowledge which dissolves the ego and brings about ecocentric living, which helps people to scale the highest heights that one can scale. And verse number 69, let's chant now. Nacha tasma manushyeshu, nacha tasma manushyeshu, kaschin me priya krittamaha, kaschin me priya krittamaha, bhavita nacha me tasma, bhavita nacha me tasma, anya priya taro bhuvi, anya priya taro bhuvi, nacha tasma manushyeshu, kaschin me priya krittamaha, bhavita nacha me tasma, anya priya taro bhuvi. There is none among men who does dearer service to me than he, nor shall there be another in the world dearer to me than he. She is praising this jnana. This jnana is the highest jnana because it dissolves the ego and realize it makes each one of us who receives this knowledge to dissolve the ego and realize our original self. And when a person realizes the original self, then he or she becomes the beacon of service. The very life is service. There is no need to do separate giving or not giving or anything of that sort. The very life is meant for giving. In interest of the total. Like the sun rising, setting, all this is in the interest of total. There is no personal agenda there. Anything in this world, there is no personal agenda other than human beings. So a person who realizes the self becomes the center. Like that, this jnana helps in people rising to the higher levels, grow. Therefore, it is the dearest service. And dearest service because the dearest thing to you is the Atma. And that which makes you realize the Atma is the dearest. There is nothing better than that you can do. So, in the fourth chapter, if you see, he talks about various services that you can do. You can do dravya yajna, material giving. You can do tapo yajna, physical giving. You can do yoga yajna, emotional and intellectual giving. And then he says, swadhyaya jnana yajna, that's the highest. The highest yajna that one can do is gain this knowledge. See, like they say, when someone is suffering from poverty and hunger, okay, you give them bread, fish. But better than that is, teach them how to fish. Correct? Giving them food, you solve their problem temporarily. But you give them fish is one thing, other thing is to teach them how to fish. That solves their problem permanently. So this knowledge is what gives direction to people. If without this knowledge, you become directionless in life. We have taken this example before also. When a person is lost in the desert, when he knows which direction the sun rises, all other directions become clear and then he can trace his steps to his city back. If other than sun, he has no other help. Isn't it? When you are in the ship, your mariner's compass is what is giving you the direction. This is north. There is no south, all the other directions you know. Similarly, the real service you can give to people is give them that direction. All we need in life is a direction, a clarity. We are running around here, there, everything. So he says, the best service is imparting this knowledge. And if you want to do that service of imparting this knowledge, first you have to dissolve your ego through knowledge. Only to the extent you have dissolved the ego, you can impart it. Otherwise, what you impart is only information. Are you getting it? That's why we say only the self can impart the self. Only to the extent you have unfolded the self can you impart. Now, if you yourself are panicking, how will you help the other fellow who is also in distress? That's why they say, not the flight. First help yourself with the oxygen mask and then help others. So therefore he says, there is none among men who does dearer service to me than he, nor shall there be another in the world dearer to me than he. He's talking about a person who is gaining this knowledge and imparting this knowledge. So it's not that he's trying to get people to spread this knowledge. Are you with me? If you really want to spread this knowledge, in the Bhagavad Gita itself, Krishna said, they should come and seek it from you. When will they seek it from you? When you set an example. When you yourself are panicking and running around, nobody wants to come and learn the knowledge from you. Right? When you see somebody, yes, he is very calm in these kind of situations, he decides. See, a leader is one who sets example, leads through example. Not the one who gives lectures and, you know, just points out the message and then he leads. No. When there is a panicky situation, the leader is the one who leads last. Then they look up to him. Then they get inspired for him. Then they will die for him. That's why they say, you should own up the responsibility. When you own up the responsibility, the whole lot gets inspired by that. And the whole lot gets inspired by that, then they will be ready to die for you. You can't expect tyag from the lower level children or anybody below you when you yourself do not have the tyag. So therefore he says, the highest service that one can render is the service of jnana. That's why we say, you give him knowledge and leave him alone. He'll be fine. See, a person without this knowledge, with all the wealth, wealth meaning any knowledge, secular knowledge, secular I don't mean the way, the political secular, I mean any knowledge pertaining to the worldly living, right, is not enough. You will succumb. But the moment you have this knowledge, you will not succumb. Why? What is that cut that I am talking about? There are three words which you must remember, or four let's say. That's the crux. All are interconnected words. You can use them as synonyms. But that is the crux of this. When I say this knowledge you should get, then you will be fine in life. What is that? Not the ability to chant the verse backwards and forwards, or give lectures and impress people. Not all of them. What are those words? Even out of the four, if you can say one is fine. What would you call as the crux of Vedanta? When he says, one who imparts this knowledge is doing greater service to me. By gaining the knowledge, what happens to you? Why? Therefore, it's considered to be the greatest service.
Become more selfish.
Okay, that's the fifth word.
You identify with your bigger self, like as not as duality, as self, as
so
Atman.
Therefore, what happens to you? Why is that? You, by gaining this knowledge, is the highest knowledge that you can get. Why do we say that? Because he says, one who does this kind of service is the dearest to me. There is none dearer than him. Why?
He's not attached to the knowledge.
Not just knowledge.
He surrenders.
Not attached to anything.
So what is that state?
Not attached, detached.
He is in a state of absolute independence. If you gain this knowledge, you will be in an absolute state of mental independence. Mental independence. Right? Now you are saying your son is in London. You do everything that you have to do. Right? In fact, all of you have children who are staying abroad, right? I also have my niece studying in the college there. What you can do now, do that. But be independent, mentally. And you will make the other person also independent. That is actually true love. True love is when you make the other person empowered and leave them alone, free. It's a very, very difficult concept for people to even understand. In the, here we have done those books. We started only with Bhagavad Gita. There is another book by Swamiji, it's a very simple book. It's called Holocaust of Attachment. Holocaust of Attachment. In that book, in one particular chapter, Swamiji gives a very, very controversial example. And when I do that book in many of the classes, especially in the class where mainly women or more women are there, they argue with me like anything with reference to that example. Right? Because it's very difficult for people to understand the concept of love or independence. So the four words that I talked about, one is independence, other is detachment, and the other one is
to be faith, like complete faith.
Objectivity. And the other word is witness.
Objectivity.
Witness, sakshi bhava. The moment you learn this technique of being sakshi, sakshi doesn't mean you don't do. Even, see, when you don't do, being sakshi is easy. Like, you will be perfect sakshi if you are giving advice to somebody else about how to deal with coronavirus. Are you sakshi when it comes to your own children? When it comes to you, are you able to be sakshi? Right? This knowledge makes you a sakshi while you are in this world. And this knowledge makes you independent and objective. You become objective in life. You gather that objectivity. You don't get involved in anything. You become absolutely detached. All these are interconnected. So, the real service you can do to somebody is give them knowledge, empower them, lead them alone. This is one thing that if you see, in our institute we try to do this everywhere. But a lot of people ask, so, oh, yours is a big institution, so you will be, like for example, they ask me, oh, so you were appointed in Delhi or what? You understand? Like you have branches in business, different branches in different cities. So you are appointed as the general manager or the leader of the particular institute, that company there. Here nothing like that. In our institute nothing like that. In fact, many of the institutes are founded and started by the students who got the knowledge, went and started it, that's it. It slowly happened. You gain the knowledge, you take, tell your, you know, you go tell Swamiji, my course is over, I need your blessings, and some of them they go back, right? Other than those who want to continue doing research in the ashram, they go back. And wherever they go, they start a class, one or two classes here and there, and then slowly, slowly, so many people attend here and there, and slowly an institute is formed. Are you with me? So, you basically, once you have the knowledge, you become independent. In spite of the knowledge, if you are still dependent, what does it mean? It means you haven't got the knowledge. So the highest service you can do is to give them independence and leave them alone. But you know they will be able to take care of themselves because they, you have given them that, this knowledge, Atma-jnana. When a person has everything and he doesn't have self-confidence, it's not spirituality. That's why Swami Vivekananda says, he is not an atheist one who does not believe in God. He is an atheist one who does not believe in himself. This is the definition he gives. He is not an atheist who does not believe in God, but he is an atheist who does not believe in himself. So the highest self-confidence is given when you gain this knowledge. You know who you essentially are. That confidence, that shraddha, that faith, that objectivity makes you deal with any situation with that calmness. Therefore, this is the greatest service you can impart. Because the moment you've imparted the knowledge, the student becomes independent. Oh, no. You are my student. You should always be dependent on me. Then you have not done the real service. Given job. Beautifully, Oliver Goldsmith in the poem Village Preacher conveys this message. He says, there's a bird, right? What does the bird do? The mother bird. There is the young ones in the nest. The mother bird brings the food. It is initially coming on the branch, walking to the nest and feeding the young ones. Correct? Then slowly what does it do? It stands at the tip of the branch and makes the young one walk on the branch and come to it. And then only feeds. So there will come a time when you will see the mother bird is flying in the sky and feeding the young ones. Correct? And then it slowly says, allures them to the sky. Why? Because they belong to the sky. This is what Khalil Gibran is also saying. Your children are born to you. They are of you, they are not yours. But what are you doing? You don't want to allure them to the sky. You want to keep them to yourself. Are you getting it? So the moment you make a person independent, leave them alone. And when a person is independent, he is empowered fully, he or she. So therefore that's the best service you can do. And before you can do that service to anybody, you have to first become independent. Many people who are doing charity, for them, they are dependent on the charity. Let's suppose you in this situation now where hand sanitizers are missing everywhere, I'm told, right? Nobody is able to get hold of hand sanitizers because there's a demand and supply is not there. Correct? The current scenario. And supposing, let's say you have an NGO and you want to distribute hand sanitizer everywhere. Okay? Good service, fine. And you go and try to give it to different schools everywhere and you already find them. Before you or your van went with hand sanitizer, gloves and everything, already some other NGO has come and given it. So they say, no thank you. What will happen to you? Are you comfortable? Are you agitated? Think about it. I wanted to do service but there is no taker. If that is the condition, then then doing service becomes a what?
Ego testing.
Plug for your lacuna. Are you getting it? You are having a lacuna. Lack. To feel full, you are doing something. Social work should not be like that. When will that social work will not be something to fill a plug? When you have no holes. Are you getting it? When you have no hope, which is when you realize the self. Till you realize the self, some lacuna or the other is there. Are you getting it? So therefore he is saying, the dearest to service is this. To make a person paripurna. Next verse. Adyeshyate chaya imam. Adyeshyate chaya imam. Dharmyam samvada mavayoho, dharmyam samvada mavayoho, jnana yajnena te naham, jnana yajnena te naham, ishtasyamiti mematihi, ishtasyamiti mematihi, adyeshyate cha eimam, dharmyam samvada mavayoho, jnana yajnena te naham, ishtasyamiti mematihi. Mati means view. Mati means view. Matam means opinion. So opinion of a particular person is nothing but his views given to a particular person or a particular set of people at a particular time. ठीक है? Now Hinduism is not a matter in that sense. Hinduism is not an opinion given at a particular time by a particular person or a particular set of people. Right? Hinduism is called as Sanatana Dharma. In fact, in English they say Hinduism. It is not Ism. When you say Ism, Christianism, sir, opinion given by Christ to a set of people at a particular place, at a particular time. Are you getting it? Zoroastrianism, same logic. But Hinduism is not like that. From time immemorial, sages and sages came, they gave their knowledge. Upanishads were given by different masters, not by just one person. Some of the Upanishads, you don't even know who the master is. So it's not in that sense of Mata. So here Shri Krishna says, in my opinion, this is his view. What is he saying? He who shall study this sacred dialogue of ours. Ours means Bhagavad Gita. A conversation between Shri Krishna and Arjuna. By him, I am worshipped by Jnana Yajna. Jnana Yajna, sacrifice of wisdom, such is my view. What is this Yajna? We have studied this before also. Yajna, you know, no? The rituals that we do. Right? What is the thing happening in the Yajna ritual? There is a kut, havan, and the fire worship is there, and you offer something to the fire, grain or ghee or whatever, the fire shoots up. Fire is the first element that you can see. Space you can't see. Space can be contacted only through your ears, through the sound that comes through the space. Right? Nothing else. Only one of your senses contact space. That's ears. When it comes to air, ear and
nose.
Air, air.
Here you are breathing, I think, so touch.
Feel. When it comes to fire, you can see. You can hear fire crackling sound.
And feel.
Right? And then when you come to water, what all is there?
See. All of them taste.
Taste.
And the rest.
One is not there. What is not there?
No.
Smell.
No, right.
When it comes to earth, earth has ganda. When it rains, you see.
So all the five senses. All the
earth is the gross. Space is the
subtle.
The first element that can be seen is fire. Therefore fire is worshipped as symbol of God. Are you getting it? Another reason is fire, whichever way you hold a torch, the fire shoots up, not down. And not only that, fire purifies. You put gold in fire to purify gold. The ability to purify is there for fire. Even they are talking, no? Now, coronavirus situation will become better in India. It won't become worse. Why?
Because the heat
summer is starting in India everywhere. Correct? That's what they are saying. I don't know how far it is true. Right? So now, if you see, therefore fire is taken as a symbol to represent God. Correct? Now, that fire may, what are you offering? Grain, whatever you are offering, to take the blessings. So in Yajna, the idea is there is an offering, there is a kindling. There is an offering and there is a kindling. Lot of people in India, they just got stuck to Yajna. Even today you find they are just only interested in doing the rituals. Nothing else. Right? But what is the concept of Yajna actually teaching you? to sacrifice. Your life should be on the principle of sacrifice, service, right? To serve and sacrifice. But people just go and do the yajna and then come into life and be selfish. So therefore, what do you sacrifice? You may sacrifice anything, whey grain or ghee or anything, but what you sacrifice is not the important thing. The attitude when you sacrifice. So therefore, you are in a way diluting the ego. Correct or not? Right? So now, in Jnana Yajna, Bhagavad Gita coins this word called Jnana Yajna. What is that Jnana Yajna doing? What are you sacrificing in Jnana Yajna? What are you kindling? What is the fire there? Is there any fire lit there? What is the fire there?
Knowledge
fire. And what is sacrifice? Ignorance, ego. Right? So you offer the ignorance, you kindle the knowledge. In the fire of knowledge. So that is the highest form of worship. Are you with me? So therefore he says here, he who shall study the sacred dialogue of ours, by him I am worshipped by jnana yajna. So instead of, a lot of people say, Swamiji, after coming to Vedanta study, I do everyday study and all, but you know, slowly I'm finding myself not that much ritualistic. Am I doing something wrong, Swamiji? Are you getting it? You're getting some doubt. Pehle I used to do agarbatti, thoda camphor, thoda this, thoda that. Abhi, you know, I don't do all that. Then I ask, do you get up in the morning and study? Yes, I get up in the morning and study. And then, how is your life? Are you working selflessly, unselfishly or selfishly? No, relatively unselfish. Maybe not selfless, but relatively unselfish. This is worship. Worship is not just go and do some puja in the puja room or a temple and get out and be selfish throughout the day. When we talk about prayer also, what do we say? Prayer is not a pastime, part-time hobby. It's a full-time awareness of truth. So jnana yajna, there, what are you sacrificing? Your ignorance, your ego. And what is the fire kindled? Fire of knowledge. And when you are gained that fire of knowledge in you, whoever comes in contact with you also get purified. Yes, that's why temporarily when we go and sit with the Mahatma, you get the clarity and you become fine. Okay, I was unnecessarily perturbed. How? Because he's like, see, when you put an object in a furnace, 1500 degrees Celsius, heat is going on there, fire. And you are putting iron ball into the furnace. What happens to the iron ball? What happens? It will melt and become what? Fire. It will become fire. Correct or not? Fire, anything you put in fire becomes fire. Burnt completely. Correct? So, what you need to understand is, anybody who comes in contact with you, instantly gets that clarity. So, he says, the real worship is jnana yajna worship. That doesn't mean he's not telling you don't do any other worship. If a person is doing daily study, reflection, manan, he is already worshipping me. Through jnana yajna. Others, they just feel, oh, I lit the lamp, okay, ho gaya, tumhara prayer ho gaya. No, it's not that just you lighting the lamp. Do you retain that, when you light the lamp, what are you doing? The wick is your ego. You are burning the wick after soaking it in the oil of devotion and you are burning it with the fire of knowledge. That's the symbolism. So when you do that, you show light to the surroundings. you become the beacon. So therefore he says, the best form of doing worship is Jnana Yajna. He said, I am worshipped by Jnana Yajna, sacrifice of wisdom. And in this sacrifice of wisdom, how much of wisdom you give to the other, will your wisdom become any less? Exactly like fire. Any number of candle you light from one candle light, the first candle light doesn't go down, does it? Your wisdom in no way reduces. If I give you wealth, my wealth little bit reduces. Isn't it? But when I give you jnana, my knowledge doesn't reduce even a bit. Therefore he says, a person who is doing the study of this conversation, he gets purified, therefore it is a jnana yajna. The self-purification happening. So he therefore declares that his conviction is that learning and preaching the great Gita is the best practice amongst bhakti, karma and jnana. So when he says that he doesn't poo-poo bhakti and karma, in a way you are doing karma. Your karma is to spread the knowledge. I told you, spread the knowledge, first thing you got to do is live it. Spread the knowledge doesn't mean that the world is in need of your service. So Chinmayanandaji started this tradition of Gita Jnana Yajna. Gita Jnana Yajna is because everywhere there is only fire worship being done. Nobody really gets into the spirit of this Jnana Yajna. Therefore he started this tradition called Gita Jnana Yajna. And I am telling you, I am not saying this to impress anybody here because I know most of you are related to each other. Only from with reference to our institute part of it, I would say. I think when I say that only almost 99% I am sure. 1% maybe I am wrong. With all humility I am saying, the only group that has been continuously supporting for the Gita Jnana Yajna to happen, this is our second cycle. First cycle over 18 lectures. Not 18, more, 18 chapters over first cycle. Second cycle may 18B. But because of coronavirus, we put it off. Now in Delhi. The only place where same group has been supporting is Delhi. Everybody, just because one group is not supported, the Yajna did not stop. Somebody else comes forward and helps. Krishna is good. You understand? It's not an easy thing. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm not criticizing or anything. It's a tough thing to keep that thing going on. And so many people came and suggested to Swami, Ajkal Zamana is that internet Zamana, why should we have this Yajna, Swamiji, let's stop this Yajna, let's do it on the internet, you know. Here, listen, do on the internet, do whatever you want. I am not stopping the Yajna, period. But I am not attached, somehow conducted also, but we are not stopping this. The tradition is there, in our this thing, the tradition is that what? You light a lamp, you make sure that somebody is either keeping awake and keeping the lamp continuing. Are you with me? The real service you can do is give them the vision to see and leave them alone. Right? And this inner, imagine each and every person gaining the self-confidence. Then will you say population is a liability? Then population becomes an asset. Isn't it? More people with self-confidence and less dependence and thinking in terms of contributing compared to consumption, the country will become so dynamic. Forget about the whole 130 crores of this country, even if just 10 crore of the population of this country gains little bit of this knowledge, you will be completely different. You won't be dependent, you will be independent. Just imagine, I get 10 crores, even 10% of that. It will be a completely different country. Are you getting what I'm saying? See, to do great work, you don't need too many people. You just need few people with that spirit. Can be done. It's possible. So that's why he says the greatest worship is Jnana Yajna worship. So this Swami Chimayamaji started this tradition of Gita Jnana Yajna. So now everywhere there is no fire worship going on, but the fire of knowledge worship is going on. So we keep saying, gain this knowledge, gain that. He did not leave it there. What he did is, okay, once a year, this Gita Jnana Yajna. After that, weekly study classes. And after that, daily study at home. He is talking about daily study at home. But what do we do? I know some people who are extremely agitated. They do not do puja in the puja room or light a lamp. But they are not bothered about studying the knowledge. Are you understanding what I am saying? You are in a constant dependent state. Constant dependent state. So the moment you gain this knowledge, you become absolutely independent. Verse 71. Shraddha Vanana Suyascha Shraddha Vanana Suyascha Shrunuyadapi Onaraha Shrunuyadapi Onaraha Sopi Mukta Subhan Lokan Sopi Mukta Subhan Lokan Prapnuyat Punya Karmana Prapnuyat Punya Karmana Shraddha Vanana Suyascha Shrunuyadapi Onaraha Sopi Mukta Subhan Lokan Prapnuyat Punya Karmanam. Now he says, okay, even if you are not teaching, and even if you are listening, and even the man who listens, but how? With the Shraddha, faith, free from malice and liberated, he too shall attain the worlds of those of meritorious deeds. Now what he is saying is, when there is a salt made of, sorry, there is a doll made of salt, and you take the doll which is made of salt and touch the ocean water, what happens to that doll? Instantly dissolves. Instantly. Correct? So now, if you with Shraddha listen to this knowledge, what is this knowledge talking about? You are not Avanti, you are Atman. Correct? You are not Shweta, you are Atma. Correct? The moment you listen to it with the Shraddha, instantly all the path that you gain for all the Jama instantly dissolves. But that listening has to be with Shraddha. See, there is a book called 1 Minute Wisdom by Anthony DeMello. Right? The 1 Minute Wisdom, he doesn't give lectures. He just gives few quotations and small inspirational words there, sentences. In that, to open the eyes you may take Janma. Right? But the moment you open your eyes, instantly what happens? Instantly what happens? You see the world. You could be in darkness for Janmas, but the moment you open your eyes, instantaneously, you see the world. Correct or not? Similarly, you could be the greatest sinner of all the path possible, but the moment you listen to this knowledge with the absolute Shraddha and attentiveness. And what does that mean? What does that mean? You should be like the stone that has submitted itself in the hands of the sculpture, and the sculpture beautifully removes the portions that are not needed, and a Ganesha comes out of it, or a Lord Jesus comes out of it, or a Buddha comes out of it. What did the sculptor do? Buddha is already there in that stone. And what did the sculptor do? He simply removed that extra portion here and there. Then a Buddha comes out of it, isn't it? So similarly, in you there is a Buddha. Correct? And if you really listen to the knowledge with the Shraddha, which means what? You are like the stone which has submitted itself to the sculptor. When you have that kind of bhakti, the transformation happens. So he is trying to tell you that knowledge and bhakti are one and the same. And when you are in that kind of knowledge and bhakti, you really do service, karma. All other service is not service. All other service, there is something or other you are expecting. So karma, bhakti, jnana, everything mixes in that. You become a greatest karma, karma yogi, greatest bhakta, greatest jnani. Adi Shankara, the greatest jnani, right? He is given commentaries for Upanishads, for Brahma Sutra, for Bhagavad Gita, everything, jnana level. Bhakta, if you see Adi Shankara, he established 4 mutts, right? Lot of temples and Saundarya Lahari, Lalita Sahasranam, and all that. When you go, there is this lot of upasanas that he talks about. So greatest bhakta. And when it comes to karma, he travelled the length and breadth of this country to propagate this knowledge physically. And those days, not now, he would fly in aircraft and do all this. He had to walk up and down, maximum bullockarts with it. That's all. So greatest karma, greatest bhakti, greatest knowledge. Are you with me? So in short, what he is trying to say, even if you listen, but listen means what?
Without malice.
What does that mean? Without malice means what? Listening without malice means you have emptied yourself. So Jesus Christ says, empty thyself, I shall fill thee. And what do you have to empty yourself of? Anybody? What do you have to empty yourself of?
Doubt.
Doubt?
Fear.
All your?
Attachment.
All your?
Vastness.
Erstwhile belief systems. All your conditionings. A student went to a master, Zen master. He said, please teach me this knowledge. At that time, it was tea time for him. So the master was pouring the tea from the vessel into the cup. And the cup was overflowing. And this guy is saying, please teach me. The master said, I am teaching you, you are not listening. What? The cup is full. The cup is full, nothing will go in. You will not listen. With malice when you listen, you are already getting ready with your arguments to counter that. So you are not really listening. You are full. You already know. So this is what Josh Billing says. The trouble with most folks is not so much their ignorance, but their knowing so many things which ain't so. This doesn't mean you have to accept whatever Krishna says or Jesus says. But first empty na. After you let that in, then think about it and digest or throw it. Are you getting it? But let that in. But if you are not even letting it in, how can it cure it? So therefore he says, if you even listen to that knowledge without malice, then with full of Shraddha, you will be liberated. He too shall attain the worlds of those of meritorious deeds. Now, those of meritorious deeds here should not be taken as you will go to heaven. Vedanta, we already told, Pap and Punya both will keep you away from Brahman. So from Vedantic point of view, Punya is also Pap. So when he says meritorious deeds means what? Not that you will go to heaven and come back. meritorious deeds here mean you will go to the brighter worlds, your life will become better and better, and ultimately you reach the highest perfection. You become enlightened, that's what it means. Culminating in enlightenment. That's what it means. See, anybody who's tasted the enjoyment that you really get when you dissolve the ego would want to taste it more, no? Again and again. Is it not? Parents also tell the children when they see the look of it or the color of it, or I don't want to eat this, I don't want to eat this. Just taste it, they keep saying. And when the child is tasting it, then the child will want more. So the real enjoyment is in what? Self-effacement. The joy that you derive when you destroy your ego is far superior than any joy that you get when you contact an object. We have discussed this before. In love, you sublimate. In attachment, in lust, you dominate. So there is a kind of aggression, and that is giving you some kind of a kick. Compared to that, the joy that you get when you sublimate yourself. Are you with me? That joy is far superior. Isn't it? What is the joy of the mother when she has delivered a baby? What is the joy? Now she shares her life with somebody else. The ego is reduced. And when the ego reduces, that joy is far superior. That sacrifice that the mother does for the child, just sleeping on one side of the bed and giving the rest to the child, right? That joy is far superior. So once you've tasted that joy, the problem is you are refusing to move out of it. There is a joy that you get from the motherhood. There is a superior joy as well. But you have to get inspiration from this. You have to learn from this. What is that? Letting go. The joy is in letting go, not in dominating. That's what he's saying. The more and more you reflect, you listen and reflect, means you allow it to go inside you, allow it to go inside you, your life becomes more enlightened. It's the greatest joy. A person who has been in darkness forever, when he sees the light, even a little bit of light is the greatest joy. Isn't it? That's what it is. Therefore listen. When you listen, you get transformed. So listening here means Shravana Manana Nididhyasana. Listening is not just listening. If you really listen with faith, what will you do? What is? Whenever I talk about faith, Shraddha, you remember the story? I think half later I stopped telling the story. You must have forgotten. Shraddha means that story should come to your mind. What is that story? There was a drought in the kingdom, and the king called the priest to see if he can conduct a yajna, and then we can bring in rain. The priest said, yes, we can conduct this yajna on so and so date. Let's do it on the seashore. Please make all the arrangements. We'll start the yajna in the morning. But I will not start the yajna till I see even one faithful heart. At least there should be in the crowd one faithful heart. Okay? So the king said, I myself believe in all this, what's the problem? So when the yajna was organized, priest came, everything is done, but he was supposed to start, he didn't start. Obviously because according to the priest, not even one person who is there with the real faith. So everybody was waiting. Suddenly after some time the priest said, let's start. Everybody turned to look who's coming now. And an old lady walks in with an umbrella. So what is the priest telling him? You are doing the yajna. But nobody came with an umbrella. So when you say listening with the faith, what does it mean?
Full faith.
In this context.
You have to come emptied to come with full faith in totality and the universe.
That ardent desire to bring about the transformation in yourself. That is the faith. You ask this question to yourself. You say you are a believer of God. Right? According to you, according to a layman, what do they think? God is the one who is taking care of this world and everything. He knows, he or she knows what is good for everyone and all that. Right? Why do you have to fear whether you will be taken care of or not? Why don't you just do what you have to do? You say, I believe in God. Bhagavan pakka, zarur, he will take care of us. He will take care of you, no? Just go about doing what you have to do. Why the fear is there?
Bookmark is apt, no?
Huh?
The bookmark is apt. It says God in His love and power knows just what you need, and when you need it, He will carry you through. So that faith.
Yes, you understand that. So you will just walk. But you said bhaya. What bhaya? When you really believe in God, how can there be bhaya? So that means you are not really believing in God. Chalo, Bhagwan ko bhi thoda sa bharosa karke rakhenge. Just in case he may come to help, it's okay. It's like, you know, I'll keep in touch with her also. Somebody will come up some help someday. This is not bhakti. This is madness. Are you getting it? So that's what, when he says listen, you ought to do this kind of contemplation. What does he mean by listening? With faith, ready to give yourself. That's called Shraddha. Therefore we say Shraddha means not just rupa faith. A lot of people say, we are Bhakta of Krishna. What do you mean Bhakta of Krishna? Somebody else will come and talk about the so-called negative stories of Krishna with gopis. Oh, they have changed their loyalties from Krishna and now they are Hanuman Jeepers. You understand? How did you immediately change Baba? Your faith is not deep, your faith is very, very surface. If your bhakti was deep, how can... Simply, a lot of people say, what is this? I've heard this myself, you know. I asked a question and he came upon us like avalanche. I'm changing my life to another group. Okay, change. What I'm trying to tell you is, so in short, you have conditions. That condition, that guy or that lady, whoever is the guru, has to fulfill. Then you will say, best guru in the world. So what kind of faith is your faith? Are you getting it? Now, I'm not saying therefore the guru should come down as avalanche. That's the right thing. I'm not getting into that discussion. The faith in many people are all very, very, what? Fragile. And especially when it comes to Bhagavan, it's extremely fragile. There are people who say, all my life I believed in Krishna, but he let me down, so now what I'm doing? Converting. All my life I believed in Jesus Christ, he let me down, I'm converting. How can I? There's no question I'm letting down, right? So the point I'm trying to tell you is, when you say listening means, it is faith plus conviction plus consistent application till you get transformed. That's why I said, giving yourself like the stone gives itself to the sculptor. That's called faith. Otherwise no sculptor can bring about Buddha from a stone. Impossible. It gives itself fully. So therefore it says, listening without malice but with full Shraddha. When you do that, then absolute transformation comes. Why? Then you will apply yourself in the study of Gita. Otherwise you will not apply yourself in the study of Gita. Once in a while, you will keep in touch. And you keep in touch, nothing much up. In fact, when you go and meet Swamiji, after the thing is over, supposing he comes to Yajna here, 4 days, 5 days, he stays, and then he's leaving the city, you go and take his blessings, he will keep in touch. So people think he wants to, you know, build relationships with everyone. He is saying keep in touch means, he is saying keep in touch with knowledge. He is not interested. Once he goes to another city, he forgets. Anybody should be like that. But the point is, keep in touch for your sake. You have the mobile phone. If you are plugged into the electricity, you will be charged. It's for your sake. It's not for the other sake. So that's what it means by study. Now, after giving all this, now Sri Krishna is going to ask, has this benefited him? Meaning what? Shall I conclude? That's what he's asking. Next verse. Kaschidetachyutam pata, Tvayikagrena chetasa, Kaschidagyana sambhohaha, Pranashtasteja nanjaya, Kaschidetachyutam pata, Tvayikagrena chetasa, Kaschidagyana sambhohaha, Pranashtasteja nanjaya. Now after telling the importance of this knowledge, the greatness and the glory of this knowledge, and of people who teach it and one who listens and all that, now he says, has this been heard by you with single pointed mind, O Partha? Did you listen to what I said with single pointedness, or did you allow your mind to get drifted here and there? Has the deep delusion of ignorance been destroyed, O Dhananjaya? Has this knowledge helped you? In other words, so has the deep delusion of ignorance been destroyed, O Dhananjaya? O winner of wealth, what he is saying is, if you heard it with single-pointed mind, this knowledge would destroy the delusion. If you did not listen to this with single-pointed mind, devotion, it will not remove the delusion. As simple as that. So if the knowledge has not worked in you, what does it mean? You did not have single-pointed application. See, single-pointed mind means application. Please understand this. Have you applied yourself fully into this? If not, it will not work. And the beauty is, Arjuna replies in the next verse. He says, my delusion is gone. And that means what? Kauravas are finished. It's just a question of time. Kauravas are finished. That fellow was completely in delusion. Right? What was the delusion? What is right? What is wrong? So the delusion is gone means what? Now I know what is right, what is wrong. I just do what is right. And when I do what is right, I'll get the benefit automatically. So, until the delusion goes, you must apply and study. See, that is why we say, when you give yourself to purification, till you are 100% purified and you cannot be polluted anymore, better to save yourself from other contacts which might pollute you. Are you getting it? Huh? You should now first become absolutely free from all the confusions and develop the clarity to that height where no more anybody can confuse you. Then you can mingle with anyone and everybody, no problem. Otherwise, you remove little bit of confusion, you go somewhere else, again you will get confused. So therefore, till the delusion is gone, you got to apply it. And Arjuna's answer and the rest of the verses we will see next week. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriyerva Manasendriyerva Buddhyatmanava Buddhyatmanava Prakte Swabhavat Prakte Swabhavat Karomi Adhyat Sakalam Parasmahi Sakalam Parasmahi Narayanayeti Samarpayami Narayanayeti Samarpayami.